Hi, everybody. Welcome to Will and Amala Live. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for supporting us. I'm your co-host, Amala Epinobi, and here we have Mr. Will Witt. Will, thanks for being on today.
Great to be here. Well, so, as I walked in, people said that I look different than usual.
Yeah, I've got to say, you're looking taller and wiser today.
How do you look wise?
There's just something about you.
White hair. I think that does it.
Guys, all jokes aside, we have a one Mr. Dennis Prager in the house today. Woo! How amazing is that? And Dennis is going to be taking the place of William today because William is out and about in Europe. He's going to be, you know, trouncing around, doing his thing,
amazing
talking freedom.
They let him in.
I know. I wouldn't let him into my house even.
That, for different reasons.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the vaccination.
No.
So I was allowed in to Hungary last summer. There was a governmental permission I got.
Oh, really?
It's amazing that you need it. You'll love this. So after I spoke in Hungary for this conference, you may not know this about me, but it's the only thing that I'm aware of that I brag about. I've been to 130 countries.
Uh-huh.
I brag about that. No matter what happens, I drop that fact.
As you should.
It's reprehensible, but I do it. Anyway, so I had not been to Slovakia.
Okay.
I had been to Czechoslovakia, but I'm very honest. I'd only been to the Czech part.
Ah.
So I've never been to independent Slovakia.
Okay.
All right. So that borders Hungary. And I said to my wife, Sue, We got to drive to Slovakia. I have to add this country.
Right.
She said, great. She's a trooper.
Uh-huh.
But how do you get into Slovakia? I don't have government invitation then. So this is precious. You'll love this because it's the only reason I'm telling you, because it's so adorable, the story. So one of the people that I met at the conference in Hungary was a Slovak priest. It's a very Catholic country.
Mm-hmm.
A terrific guy, about 30, 35, maybe the maximum, total live wire character. And he said, so you got to visit me in Slovakia. I said, that's what I want to do. He said, okay, great. I said, there's a problem. You have to be vaccinated to get into Slovakia.
Uh-oh.
So he thought for a moment and he goes, well, I think I have a solution. He wrote me a letter on Archdiocese stationery. That I was attending the funeral of my brother.
Oh, my.
My long-lost Slovak brother,
whom
I never knew I had.
Oh.
Is that I'm framing the letter.
Oh,
it's
my
in
gosh.
Slovak. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Wow. Did you have to shed a tear when you showed that to the government officials?
That is such a great question. Here's the joke.
Uh-huh.
We drove by the border. They just waved to us.
Oh.
The whole thing was for naught.
So you're like thinking of your brother's age, what happened to him.
Yes, exactly. Do you know, this is really ironic. When I got home, I told my brother the story. He's older than I. He's my one sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, he didn't find it funny that I attended his funeral. I think it's hilarious that I attended my living brother's funeral.
I could see a few reasons why one might find that.
Apparently so. Okay.
I'm not one of those people, but I could see why why that might be the
you
case.
You are not. That is right.
Now, speaking of vaccination, Dennis, you just set us up for a perfect segue. I want to show you this video out of Quebec. If you want to put those headphones on to hear what this young news anchor is saying. Here's a video out of Quebec News talking about what it's going to be like to go to grocery stores, specifically large grocery stores, because apparently the size of the grocery store matters in this case. Here we go.
Today, big box stores that have a footprint of 1,500 square meters or more are going to have to ask customers to show proof of vaccination. Now, pharmacies and grocery will be exempt from this. So if you're going into a Costco or a Walmart or something like that, where you might be going in to buy groceries or visit the pharmacy, in that case, an employee will have to be with that person as they walk through the store to make sure that they do not go and buy other products or other items that might be in the store. Now, today,
there you go. That's the clip. So you can't go to a large store without your vaccination card. And if you try to go grocery shopping without one, you will have a vaccine babysitter, essentially, that makes sure you only buy food and medicine.
Well, this past week, I read a piece in the Montreal Gazette by a Quebecer who visited Florida for vacation.
Oh, gosh.
And he wrote half in admiration and half in consternation. He could not acclimate to Florida's freedom.
See?
It's really, people should read it. People get used to being prisoners.
They really do. We've both spoken to Yanmi Park before, and they said, she said the true feeling of oppression is not knowing that you're oppressed at all. And I think that's right. What people are experiencing right now. They're going, you know, they're tripping over themselves to do exactly what the government says, and they don't see that as a taking of their freedom at all.
I wrote my column. I write my column every week, and it comes out Tuesday, so it came out yesterday. And I spoke about the irrationality of the believers in masks, like certainly outdoors, but anywhere. And I ended the piece with, here is the question that I pose. If people will obey, I don't remember the words I used. They were better chosen than I'm even quoting myself, but sure. It's very important. If people are obeying irrational orders from the state, when will they stop?
Yep.
Is there any irrational order these people would disobey?
I would venture to say no.
I would venture to say no, too. And that's why I am scared of half of my Americans' behavior.
Yeah, and I think if 2 years ago you had told any average American, hey, we're going to be forcing you to get vaccinated to go to grocery stores or to go to the bank or to go to bars or restaurants, they would look at you and go, no, that's crazy. And I think the government and these agencies are really strategic in the way that they ask people to do the things that they ask. And there's something called a complacency ladder, which I've been reading about, is they know what the ultimate goal is. And they know the ultimate goal is to get everybody vaccinated and to eventually mandate that. But the way they get to that goal has to be very specific and very strategic. They have to start out small by saying, hey guys, I just want you to stay home. It's for your own safety. It's just for 2 weeks.
Flatten the curve.
Right. And then, hey, just one mask. Oh wait, two masks. Oh wait, get vaccinated. Oh wait, get this second and third. And eventually people just get so used to being asked to do things that it doesn't matter.
Being told.
Yeah, if being told.
They don't care about being asked.
Right, right. And they get so used to the intensity of the tellings going up and up and up and up that they don't even care anymore.
Well, Quebec is a frightening example.
Yes, it is. And we're seeing people in Canada start to retaliate. We spoke on the show earlier this week about truck drivers in Ottawa to the tune of 50,000 who are going to be descending on the Ottawa government in their trucks and saying, you know what, we're not going to work anymore.
Is that right?
That is. That is.
Well, I'll tell you, that fills me with joy. Even if it's not effective, I had so given up on Canadians that this is a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah, and I think it sort of will be effective. I think when we were going through troubles with our truck driving industry, we had, 80,000 trucks we were short, and that really had an effect on our economy. I can't imagine what 50,000 does for Canada.
Well, that's why I'm shocked at the number.
Right. Right. So I think people are waking up.
It is another example. If this is true, it's another example that the upper classes are the tyrants, and the middle class and lower class prefer liberty.
Yes.
It's a very interesting phenomenon, and I know this for my whole life because my field of study was communism, incredibly, given the world that we live in now. And one observer noted all the support for Stalin in America and the West and said it was the intellectuals who supported Stalin. The hard hats hated him.
Yep. Yeah, it's so true. And I think you can apply that to nearly every single social or political issue that our world is facing right now. I've recently been doing a lot of work with the LAPD, which you guys will see very, very soon. So many big projects happening with the police departments here in Los Angeles. But the intellectuals and the elites of the world are saying, let's usher in these zero bail policies and let's try to mitigate crime by decriminalizing things. And these are the ideas that they put out, that they put into policy and that they're not held accountable for. And the people who get hurt the most are those lower income communities that they claim to be advocating for. I want to show you another video, Dennis. Here is Michael Rappaport, which we all know him for his acting and his somewhat foul mouth, witnessing a shoplifter right in front of his very eyes just steal things and walk right past security. And this is in New York City. Let's take a look.
Yo, I'm looking at this. This dude, small. Yo, that this dude is. I can't believe I'm seeing this. This mother. Yo, this guy just filled his two bags up with everything in Rite Aid right here on 80th and 1st Avenue. He's walking down the street like is Gucci. Look at me in my face like what's good. I was watching him the whole time. My man just went Christmas shopping in January. He had the condoms, the shampoo.
Yep. Right in front of his very eyes at a Rite Aid in New York City. And this is happening in nearly every major city in America because of what they're doing with policy and on crime.
There are two ways, maybe three, of stopping a reducing crime.
Mm-hmm.
One is police catching them and stopping them and arresting them.
Right.
Another is elevating the moral level of your society. And the third way, which is the left's way, is to redefine crime.
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't a crime, it didn't take place.
Right.
To them, that's not a crime.
And it's just crazy to me that this can happen. And you can see all these videos. Like, this is one of millions of videos of people going out and doing this. And people will see this and progressives will see this and still advocate for that same policy. What do you think is the block, the guard or the wall in their brains that they don't see the connection?
The left, as I have said all of my life, unlike the Judeo-Christian world,
mm-hmm.
does not divide the world between good and bad,
mm-hmm.
but between rich and poor and black and white. So that there is no universal standard of right and wrong or good and bad.
Mm.
You are good if you're poor, bad if you're rich. You are good if you're not white, bad if you're white.
Mm.
That is the moral calculus of the left. They're sick. They're destructive. It's nihilistic. It's right. Chaos.
Yeah.
But that's what they believe. And that's what you're taught at school.
Right. Yeah. I was taught that in several occasions, and especially in my young life. And it's so crazy to have.
You should mention that regularly.
Yeah.
The moral world in which you were raised. I think it's critical for people to hear.
It's insane for me to think about that I ever thought that way back in less than, what, 3.5 years ago.
Yes,
I would have been
well
screaming at you.
I know.
I'm curious, what is your prescription for elevating the morals of a society? How does that work?
That my life has been devoted to that,
yep.
Answering that. And I have a three word answer, the
okay.
Ten Commandments. My life is in a nutshell has been dedicated to promoting the God-given Ten Commandments, which was taken as a given all through Western history as being God-given. If they're not God-given, they're irrelevant, because
mm-hmm.
what man gives, man can erase. And I keep saying, you want to defund the police? There's a very simple way. Have everybody live by the Ten Commandments. You won't need any police.
Sure. I wish we would see a world where that was
That's
the
all we
case.
Need.
I know.
It's not a lot.
Yeah. It really isn't. It is actually quite simple.
Quite simple.
And it's very unfortunate. I think we're seeing a lot of progressives. We saw it of San Francisco Mayor London Breed roll back her defund the police rhetoric when she saw how bad her city was getting and when she specifically started to see it in her own neighborhood and in her own backyard. And that, I think, is so emblematic of leftism, is that they care only for themselves and they sit in their ivory towers and advocate for policies that hurt lower income communities while claiming to be the champions of these communities.
The question is, why do those communities vote for people who don't give a damn about them?
It's so...
I blame them as much as I blame the politicians.
Do you
if you vote for these people, you deserve the consequences. And by the way, it's true for me.
Yep.
If I vote Republican, I deserve the consequences of voting Republican.
Yeah. I'm just curious as to why people still do it. Are they just simply not doing their due diligence? Have they been fed the same narrative that I've been fed?
They were fed the same narrative you were.
Yeah.
One party's for the little guy and one is for the big guy, even though the big guy votes Democrat. It's just not even true.
Yeah.
And it's the richest, what is it? Something like 9 of the 10 wealthiest zip codes vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would that be?
Right. Can somebody explain that to me?
Yeah.
And why is it when these major activists who build the bulk of their career and their capital on the backs of lower income people, why is it when they get that money and that capital, they move to high income white neighborhoods? Can somebody explain that to me either?
Yeah.
Obama, Patrice Cullors, the founder of BLM, all of them doing the exact same thing.
Why do Californians who vote left go to Florida?
Exactly. I hope my beautiful state, my beautiful home state of Florida, stays like it is and does not shift. And I'm very curious to see what happens.
What city were you from?
I was from a little town. Well, maybe I won't say my little town. I will say...
Outside of what?
Yeah, town? Outside of Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Central Florida.
Yes. Central Florida, smack dab in the middle, really rural, conservative. And now a lot of people, our population has just skyrocketed from people moving there from places like California and New York. So I'm
Had
so curious.
Had you bought a hut, you'd be wealthy.
Right. I know. The property is just... crazy. The market's crazy over there.
I interviewed on my radio show just today, Peter Schweizer, best-selling author, and he has a new book on how the elites support communist China. And I always ask these people, so where are you now, my guests? Tallahassee.
Mm.
And so how long are you living there? 25 years. So I said, you don't really have to write any books. You're just wealthy having a 25-year-old house in Tallahassee.
Yeah, you just have to sit and bask.
That's right. Yes. Take a bath all day.
Oh, my gosh. If only I had bought a small plot of land in Florida.
Anything.
A water fountain in Florida. I wish.
Right.
It's a regret that I will live with for the rest of my life.
Well, if that's your biggest regret, you'll have a great life.
I do have a great life. I think we both do. Before we move that is true. Before we move on to another subject matter, guys, I want to let you know we are streaming on another channel. It's called Will and Amala Live. You guys said you were getting too many notifications on the PragerU channel. You wanted separate clips of our show and you wanted exclusive content. You asked, you've received. We have Will and Amala Live, the channel. Please go subscribe over there. And eventually we're just going to be exclusively streaming on there. So join the club, guys. It's free. It's free of charge. And it's very, very easy to do. All you got to do is click that subscribe button and then click the notification bell so you can be notified every single day when we go live at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. Now, let's talk about...
By the way, having said that, you did move from Florida to California.
I did.
There are 11 people who have done that. You are one of them.
Do I get like a badge or a reward?
No, I'll tell you what you get. You get a thank you note from U-Haul.
Oh, I know. They really should. I should have been compensated, honestly.
I thought... I'm sure this is a fairy tale, but I did hear that they were paying people to take U-Haul trucks back to California.
I'm quite sure that's true. Yeah. I'm quite sure that's true. They were, they were really...
Because they're all in one direction.
Right.
They need them back.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. Yeah, I will say I did not know what Los Angeles was like before I moved here. Had I known that or done even the slightest bit of research, would I have been swayed? I don't know.
Let me tell you this, which you'll just have to take my word for it. When I moved here at your age in the 70s, it was awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
It was the most exciting place in America.
Mm-hmm.
They crushed it. The left, remember my motto, the left ruins everything it touches?
Yes.
L.A. is an example.
Okay, well, let's actually talk about L.A. then. How do you feel about the city of L.A., the state of California at large? Is it savable? This is a big question.
I don't know. The most honest answer is I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I try to be an optimist about things.
I don't. I don't try to be either.
Sure.
I just know what I have to do, and that is fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the future brings. Right now, it looks dark.
Right.
I mean, it's so overwhelmingly left-wing. It's 2-1, I mean, which is a staggering ratio. But let's put it this way. I'm not optimistic, but okay. I certainly haven't given up trying to fight.
You heard it here first, guys. Oh, I can tell you, one of the questions that we get asked the most is, are you and Dennis going to be leaving Los Angeles? Leave Los Angeles.
That's
leave
right.
Los Angeles.
I get that all the time.
What's your answer to that?
Well, the first answer, there are a few, is there are too many people I love here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make something clear about L.A., and that is there are it's such a large arena, and there are an enormous number of fantastic people here.
Yep.
I just want people to understand, this is the birthplace of PragerU. This is the birthplace of the Daily Wire. This is the birthplace of Pajamas Media. You go down the list, and it's either the birthplace of the founders or of the place. This is when next to blacks, the most reliable left-wing vote are Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a committed Jew, and I gave a speech at a big synagogue a few years ago. It's on YouTube. Your people should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Prager Synagogue. Los Angeles. I don't know how you'd find it. I think that would
be on
YouTube. It'll pop up. 1,200 Jewish conservatives showed up. That's a lot of people.
That's quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they came up just to support you and listen to what you had to say.
And not just support me. I have to tell you, I've given thousands of speeches. This is in the top 10 in terms of the audience going nuts. They were jumping up and down most of the time. There was no reason to sit because they would jump up again.
Right, right.
They were so thrilled having me speak about the left as a Jew the way I did and meeting all these other Jews who felt like them.
It's an amazing thing to sort of find an oasis in a desert.
That's right. So they exist here. I founded a synagogue, which I love, and I go to every Saturday. I don't want to abandon it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my closest friends are here. I have a whole world that I have built here. PragerU is here. There are a lot of good reasons.
Sure.
There are a lot of great reasons to leave.
Yep.
I acknowledge that.
Yeah, I think if you had asked me a little while ago, hey, here's a ticket to Florida, you're going to move, I would have taken it. But I think there's something to be said about your work being more fulfilling in a place where it is needed most, and your work
that's
being
right.
more fulfilling.
That was my other reason.
Yeah.
And that's exactly
yeah.
right.
And especially in a place where people don't accept the work that you're doing. And I think it gives you so much drive. Yeah.
Well, by the way, as soon as I say it, your listeners will and viewers will acknowledge it. But people don't think about this. There are more Republicans in California than in any other state.
Right.
Simply because it's so large.
There you go, guys. Think about that. There are people here. Don't just abandon us. Don't abandon us. And if you do leave the state, I understand. If your house is burning down, you don't want to put out the fire from the inside of the house. Okay, totally get that. Keep fighting, though. Don't just leave and go, I'm in a conservative oasis.
Right,
and
I'm in Tennessee.
Right.
And life is good.
Yeah, back to normal, guys. Back to your regular.
So, by the way, it is. It's, I think, from California. It's Texas, not in order.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, Texas, Tennessee.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep. I think Idaho's up there, too. Taylor, do you know where?
Oh, well, everything's
Arizona.
Up there.
Yeah,
there's no question.
Right, everything.
Yeah.
Everything's...
Well, not New Jersey. But
Right. Not New Jersey. Good Lord, not New Jersey. Now, let's talk about, we're going to shift gears a little bit, talk about a field where this is really necessary, the work that we're doing, and that is in the American education system. We've covered the education system all the time, specifically public schools, in regard to the teachers' unions and critical race theory and gender theory that our kids are being indoctrinated with. But now we have a new vessel for doing that. And I think if you go on the internet, if you go on social media, if you're listening to the news, here's something you hear, some words you hear all the time: misinformation, credibility, fact-checking. And for me, all those words do not speak to objectivity at all. They speak to bias. And here's what's happening. So the American Federation of Teachers, which is the second largest teachers union in the United States, has now decided to partner itself with NewsGuard. NewsGuard is famous for going around to websites and judging their credibility based on objectivity. No. Based on liberal bias? Absolutely. So now you have a massive teachers union who's going to be pairing with NewsGuard to develop websites and find curriculum sites for students. What do we think is going to happen there with that partnership? I can imagine it won't be good.
It will give the teachers unions the fig leaf they want to censor anything they don't agree with.
Right.
This is all this is about.
Yep.
NewsGuard is as reliable as any of the other famous so-called fact checkers.
Exactly.
They exist in order to debunk the right.
Yep. And that's what we're going
to
see.
Delegitimize. They don't actually debunk. To delegitimize.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That is a good thing to state. Yeah, it's not actually debunking us and what we have to say and the values that we're espousing. It's just to promote their own political bias. And for those of you who don't know, PragerU has been in a battle with NewsGuard for quite some time. I want to show you this website. If you go to PragerU.com/NewsGuard, you can check out and go through all the receipts of the back and forth that we've had with NewsGuard. NewsGuard labeled PragerU's website as being unreliable and lacking of credibility, saying that we have consistent, extreme bias on our website, and that we lack factual data. Now, you can go through and look through the email receipts of our CEO going back and forth with NewsGuard, trying to figure out why they labeled our website as unfactual, to no avail, of course, because so long as we're conservative, we will be censored and knocked down as being uncredible by these sites. But this is what we're dealing with. NewsGuard thinks that sources that tell you to look at the Ten Commandments and lead a better lifestyle and date with intention and to think about your morals and values is somehow lacking in credibility. What do you think that's going to do with the teachers' curriculums in your kids' schools? Which is why we really need to look at our public institutions and our public schooling system. And what the prescription of reform for that is, I have no idea.
Yeah, take your kids out of school.
Yeah.
That's the prescription.
So what you guys can do is actually go and sign this petition for our NewsGuard at PragerU.com if you'd like. But
I lost your computer screen for a second, so if you could unplug and plug it back in, maybe.
Sure. I will plug it back in so you guys can see it. So I'll get your take on this, Dennis. Every time we talk about public schools, Will gets on this program and says, abolish the public schools, which is not the vein of thinking that I tend to fall under. But I'm curious what your thoughts are.
What do you fall under?
I can see the sentiment behind saying abolish the public schools, but I think there just needs to be a considerable amount of reform in public schools. I think abolishing the public schools is going to lead to a slew of other problems that I think we don't think about when we look at all the things that public schools provide outside of actual education. So kids having a place to go away from home, mental health facilities in public schools, kids having food.
That's why I asked you before I answered.
Yeah.
Because I knew you'd have an intelligent response.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm thinking because the issue was so complex and I want to make it as simple as possible. The fact remains, right now, kids are worse off in big city schools, private or public.
Mm-hmm.
Private are no better. I read on my show today a mother whose 13-year-old daughter said she was a boy, and she took the child out of the school that she was in because all they kept doing was affirming her transition at the age of 13. Oh, you're a boy, you're a boy, you're a boy. And so she took the child to a Catholic school. The Catholic school did exactly what the public school did.
So
exactly. Affirmed the daughter's transition and yelled at the parents for in any way saying to the daughter, you're a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the problem is far greater than public schools. That's number one.
Yes.
So what do you do? I don't think they're reformable.
Mm.
Reform would mean an entire new world of teachers. Most teachers believe what they say when they say America is systemically racist. When they say there's no such thing as a boy or a girl, it is completely subjective.
Sure.
These things they believe. So they believe they'll die if they don't go, if they have classes, and it's better to deprive children of school because the teacher thinks they'll die. Not right. one teacher in Sweden died. Sweden never closed the schools yep. for kids under 16. Not one day.
And we have so many examples of this happening. And I'm just curious to see what I've really liked is what I've seen out of Florida. We all know Florida is just like the beacon of American values right now. So I'm constantly looking to them to see what they're doing. They've been moving towards something called curriculum transparency, which means your school year doesn't start without the entire curriculum of the year or of each semester being put out publicly for the other educators and for the other parents to see what is being taught in your schools. And I think that's a small bit of reform, which is something quite easy to do.
No, that, I agree. How yeah. about this? I taught at college mm-hmm. and at high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in college, kids would come over and say, is it okay if we record your class?
Yeah.
And I remember my instinct was, why are you even asking? Why would I object?
Mm-hmm.
What am I? Do I want to hide what I'm saying to you? I'm dying for you to get this out of the classroom.
Right.
But the teachers on the left don't want to be recorded.
Yep.
That means, I think, while I said that they believe what they say,
mm-hmm.
I think they also know that there's something wrong with what they're saying.
Mm.
Lest it get out to adults. See, you could say anything to a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old, and get away with it.
Sure.
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
That kids look at adults, whatever they say, they look at them with awe.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get away with it if there are adults listening.
Yes.
Teachers, college teachers want to be banned recording them. Why would that be?
Yeah.
Because they know it's indoctrination, not education.
There has to be, yeah, they have to have an inkling. They have to have a feeling that that is what they're doing and what they're doing is wrong. Why else?
Otherwise, why would you not want it made known to the world?
Sure.
Why aren't you proud of what you're saying?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why this is really a brilliant move for conservatives pushing what we're calling curriculum transparency. Because anybody who comes out and says, I don't want my curriculum to be transparent, should raise a massive red flag.
Yes.
Massive.
Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's talk about something that's been trending today. I went on Twitter a couple hours ago, and the phrase black woman was trending. And I thought, okay, that's very strange. Why is this trending? And the news behind this is Justice Breyer of the Supreme Court, it's been announced that he is planning to retire. And if you recall, our current president made a promise that if he had the chance to put somebody in the Supreme Court, it would not be somebody with merit who's been known to be proficient in the law and the Constitution. Instead, that it would be somebody who is black and female, because that's what's important. So now people are speculating, who is the next Supreme Court justice going to be? And is it going to be a black female? And is it, in fact, more important to be black and female than to have merit? If so, my life is fantastic today because it's...
Well, you have both or yeah, all three.
It's good to be me.
Look, I have done this at speeches of large groups of conservatives, like mm-hmm. 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, raise your hand. I'm going to give you two options. So wait till you hear both options. And one is a Supreme Court of 9 white, Christian, male, heterosexuals on the left.
Mm-hmm.
9 black, female, lesbian, atheists on the right.
I'm going to go ahead and raise
my exactly. hand for that every one. Single hand, yes. 1,000 hands go up.
Yep.
We don't give a damn.
Right.
Except about your values.
Yep. And they
you
will.
You have 9 conservative blacks on the Supreme Court. By far, the favorite Supreme Court justice of 99% of conservatives is Clarence Thomas.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't care. And there's one side of the country that cares more about your skin color than anything else.
Yes. And that's called racism, as I've understood it.
It's called racism, yes. Guys. Yeah. I recently went on, of all networks, a network called Black News Channel, because that's necessary. And I went on a show that's hosted by a man
by
the name.
I love that. That's necessary.
That's necessary because I don't want my news if it's not black, ladies and gentlemen. So I went on the show. The host of the show is Mark Lamont Hill, and we got on to debate critical race theory.
They invited you on?
They did invite me on. So Mark Lamont Hill, I will give him credit where it's due. He is a leftist that is known for bringing conservatives on his show to debate. So they did bring me on.
Oh,
and it was
send
great.
Send my name.
Oh, I absolutely
Does he
will.
Have lights?
Yes.
Good.
Anybody and everybody. I will. So I got on with Mark Lamont Hill to debate critical race theory in our schools and whether or not it is being taught in schools, whether or not it's necessary. And we got to the topic of representation, which is why Black Woman is trending. It's because people want to argue that they need representation. And Mark made the comment of, Amala, you're a Black female conservative. It's such a rare thing. You have now opened up a window of representation for all these other young Black females in the world. And my response to that, and I think something that we should all think about, is that if you need to look at your TV and feel represented, there's something wrong with the way that you were taught, and there's something wrong with the way that you think. If I turn on the news and I see a table full of white news anchors, that should not tell me that I can't be a news anchor. And if it does, it's just lack of reasoning on my part. There is no need to have somebody represent you based on your skin color and your race. It does not speak to their merit. It does not speak to their character. It does not speak to their ideals. This could be a completely opposite person from me. I could, in fact, think that this person is evil. But because they share my skin color and my gender, I'm supposed to identify with them in some way, shape, or form. It's a ridiculous piece of logic. Ridiculous.
It is such a joy to hear you. It just
Thank
is.
You. Thank you.
This notion, well, you need somebody who looks like you.
Right.
I can't think of a sillier notion. So let me just tell you my story. So I grew up as an Orthodox Jew. In my home, we wore all the time, we wore a yarmulke, right? Kippah, skull cap, whatever term you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
Who exactly did I look like? Zero. There wasn't a public figure who wore a yarmulke. The only one who did, and it cracked me up as a kid, was the Pope. Because in my house, though we were Orthodox Jews, we watched the Christmas mass from the Vatican every Christmas Eve. And I remember looking at my father and go, look, Dad, he's wearing a yarmulke. But somehow I didn't turn out Catholic.
Right.
You're entirely right. What do I care?
Right.
I have to look. You're pathetic.
Yes.
You're right. What you said was in effect. There is something wrong with you.
There is.
You have such a small self-image.
Yep.
I must look like that news anchor, that senator, that whatever.
Yes. And it's just amazing because it takes away your agency and it takes away the very spirit of being an American. The people that we hold up as heroes are people that crashed through not having representation and said, you know what, I don't care that I don't see people like me. I'm going to do it anyways, and I'm going to be an innovator, and I'm going to say what I think. Yet we think that that handcuffs us from doing what we want to do in this country. And it's just a ridiculous argument. And to go and then teach that to children and say that if you don't see yourself, there's a problem is... Oh, it's just such a horrible thing to do.
That's right. It is.
It really, really is. Let's move on here. You guys might have heard that they're going to be making a live action Snow White. And some of you, there's so many leftist arguments against Snow White. We'll get to one here in a bit. The left used to be mad about Snow White just for the simple name, Snow White. That was offensive. Then the left got mad that the Prince Charming kissed Snow White to literally bring her back to life, because it lacked consent. So that was the next quip about Snow White. Now we have an actor by the name of Peter Dinklage, who is known. He's very famous. He was in Game of Thrones. He's going to be in that new movie, Serrano. He is known as a member of the dwarfism community. He is a little person. And now he has his criticism of Snow White, and it is the horrifying depiction of the seven dwarves. So he took to Twitter, made a big stink about how he's fought for his representation as a little person in media and entertainment, and how dare they make a live action Snow White that paints this caricature of dwarfism. And Disney, you know how it used to be a woke mob? A woke mob is what got you to bow down and apologize. Now it's one singular person. Disney has responded and said that they are now going to be talking to the dwarfism community to make a better depiction of the seven dwarfs.
Every time I hear the word community, I know it's
yes.
Left.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Wait, can maybe you can or maybe you cannot answer the question. So I still don't know. What's his objection?
I don't, maybe that they're, so each of the dwarves has these kind of characteristics, like you've got dopey and sleepy and all of these things, and I think it just paints them as sort of these, like, mindless characters, and he doesn't want members of his community to be depicted that way. So it's very, very interesting. I guess he's saying they're not well-rounded enough characters.
So listen to this. Now that I think of it, you ever hear the Three Stooges?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They were not known for being brilliant. Not their characters.
No, they were.
And I just was reading about them. They all three were Jews. So I think that we should object.
Mm. To this dwarfism.
Jews depicted as stooges.
Mm. Okay, so you're siding with Peter Dinklage here.
I'm agreeing with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, here, you know, if you really search, everybody could be offended at all times.
That is true. That is true. And that's the thing here. Even if this was some sort of a substantive objection against Snow White, what are you offended by?
Exactly.
The threshold for sensitivity.
It's a bloody fairy tale.
I know. Oh my gosh. The threshold to be offended in this country is just so low. It's so low.
Right, it's so low. It has a horrible effect on the individual.
Yes.
See, forgetting politics, if you walk around thinking you're constantly being hurt, there is something wrong with you.
Yep.
Forget race, forget gender, just in your family.
Yep.
If you're a permanent victim, you're the problem.
Yes. There, and you should reevaluate that. And you need some life changes there, because the world does not really change all that much. Although they want to sort of bend it down to their whims, it's really not going to work. And these things are going to continue to be creative. And to those of you, there's probably very few leftists that watch this program, but if you are a leftist watching this program right now and you support things like cancel culture and canceling movies and companies, I urge you to think about this. If you support cancel culture now, it will be coming for you later, because the moral musings that we have now are so, so vastly different from the ones that we had even 2 or 5 years ago. Did you ever think that saying the term boy, girl, man, or woman would get you canceled? And now it does. So I can't wait for when the people who are leftists right now supporting cancel culture, I can't wait for you to have kids. And when your kids are 15 and 16 and they come up with their own offensive terms, like saying that the grass is green is offensive, and they cancel you, it's going to eventually come for you, because it doesn't stop
right here.
Right.
There's a biblical phrase, a land that devours its inhabitants.
Yes.
That's the left.
Yes.
All the folks who supported the Bolsheviks and the Russian Revolution, nearly all of them, ultimately got killed by Stalin.
They eat themselves. Alive. Alive. And we have one more example of that before we get to our final TikTok reaction from Dennis.
Now, I'm worried about the TikTok reaction.
It's going to be an interesting one, and it is about teaching. So it's a subject matter that we've already touched on today, and it will concern you. But this is not a space that I think either of us are in. Do you watch The Real Housewives?
It depends which city.
Salt Lake
I'll
City.
Bet you're surprised.
I am surprised by that answer.
So I am very curious.
Uh-huh.
And I never watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say one shouldn't. I just don't. So however, I spend about 100 days a year in hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
On occasion, I will turn the TV on, and I see something famous that I know nothing about, and I'll tune it in. So once, I don't remember which city it was, Real Housewives of, and I'll tell you what struck me, and maybe this is an unfair thing. First, I was bored extremely rapidly.
As you should be, yes.
Is that right?
That's fair.
The conversations were so vapid that I said, it pains me that this is interesting.
Mm.
I wouldn't mind if it was lurid. I wouldn't mind anything. But it's not interesting, let alone deep. But anyway,
yes.
So what's the story?
So the story is here. Out of all cities, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which I didn't even know existed. I didn't know Salt Lake City needed its own Real Housewives franchise. But we have a woman by the name of Jenny Nguyen, and she was a Real Housewife of Salt Lake City. But it happens that Jenny Nguyen did.
She's Vietnamese, right?
I believe so. It doesn't stipulate in this article.
Yeah, I actually recall there was a story about her, but I don't remember it.
So this will be. They have now ceased filming with Jenny because she has been found guilty in the court of public opinion, which happens so often. What is her offense? Her offense is going on the internet and speaking out against the George Floyd riots and trying to deter rioters from burning down buildings or beating police officers. So now she has been canceled by the woke mob. But here's the spin, and it's the spin that we can almost always expect. Jenny has posted an apology for this. Her apology reads as follows. I want to acknowledge and apologize for my deleted Facebook post from 2020 that resurfaced today. At the time, I thought I was speaking out against violence. Little hint, she was. But I have since learned how offensive and hurtful my words were. It's why I deactivated that account more than a year ago and why I continue to try and learn about perspectives different from my own. I regret those posts and am sincerely sorry for the pain that I've caused.
What did she post? Do you have it at all?
I'll try to find the specific post here. Let's see.
She wanted people to stop rioting?
Yep. She spoke out against the riots and that was her offense.
That's right. Well, because we're not talking protesters, we're talking rioters.
Yep. Here's some of her posts. She posted a meme that said, if you follow the police orders, you won't get shot. Some might say that's a true statement. She also posted another sort of paragraph saying, I'm sick of people saying cops need more training. You had 18 years to teach your kid it's wrong to loot, steal, set buildings ablaze.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing that people don't understand. You gain nothing by apologizing if you didn't do something wrong.
Yep.
If you did something wrong, you should apologize.
Yep.
They will not reinstate her in the program.
Nope.
And she looks like a wimp. So she has given the cancel culture a victory.
Mm-hmm.
She has looked foolish because nobody believes she did anything wrong.
Yep.
And she won't get reinstated. So apologizing when you didn't do something wrong is a huge error.
Huge. It's like the worst mistake you can make.
Worst.
Yes, because the leftists that come after you now feel emboldened to come after the next 10 people.
There's blood in the water.
Yep. They go, we came after this woman, we attacked her, and she kneeled down. So now I'm going to do that 10 times harder
That's
for the next
right.
person.
Exactly.
Don't apologize to the mob, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
I can't tell you that enough. It will do nothing for you.
Right.
And if you stand up for what you believe and what you said, you'll get more support than you ever had before.
That's right.
That's what will happen. Yeah, I went initially and I saw this story and I reached out to Jenny and sent her an Instagram message saying, hey, we'd love to support you. We'd love to have you on the show. And then boom, there goes the apology. What can you do with that now? There's nothing you can do with that now.
Well, it's still, I hope you have her on anyway.
I know. It's just to discuss that. And I can understand the pressure that one would be under to apologize.
Anyway, to be a Vietnamese member of the Salt Lake City Real Housewives group,
mm-hmm.
it must be so difficult and challenging.
The representation that they just got rid of. Somebody should come after them and try to cancel them for canceling an Asian woman. That's a minority, according to the left.
Well said.
So, you know, they do eat themselves in the end, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Dennis, one more thing here.
Yeah.
Let's get your take on this video. You're going to need your headphones for this one. I think you can already get a view of what this video might be about just by looking at this young woman. But here we go. Here's what she has to say.
So I'm not allowed to be out as trans non-binary at school. Do not come up in my comments saying that I am allowed because I'm not. I live in Louisiana and it sucks here. So, of course, my response to this is to be as obnoxiously queer as possible. So I've got my rainbow hair with leopard print. I've got my rainbow glasses. Sometimes I wear pins too with various rainbow things on them. I don't have any today. I just have my COVID sticker. I wear things that do not match at all. Basically, my goal is to look like a unicorn threw me up. If I can't do that, what's the point? So I'm not allowed.
So that's the video. For those of you who don't understand leftist language, this is a trans non-binary, which is amazing to me that you can be transgendered, but then deny the binary system of gender. Somehow that's plausible.
I guess theoretically, because your point is excellent, she has transitioned to no sex.
Yeah. And I'm thinking this is, I can't tell if this is a biological male or a female. Taylor, are you?
So that was well done. Right. On their part.
Right. So they, since they feel like they cannot come out to their class, have decided to color their hair and wear rainbow on their body and wear their COVID vaccination because that somehow communicates their sexuality and orientation.
Okay, so here's an interesting bet that one might want to make for all of your viewers and listeners. If I gave you $100 to $10 bet, I say they come from a dysfunctional home. You have to say they come from a functional, two-parent, stable, loving home.
Mm.
Would you take the bet at a 10 to 1 odds? Or are you willing to lose $10?
I will lose. It's definitely a dysfunctional home. It's definitely. Oh, yeah.
See, what has happened in society, and I'm old enough to see this transition, the troubled soul 50 years ago was regarded as a troubled soul, was pitied, could seek help. Today, the troubled soul is honored.
Yep.
The troubled soul is a cause,
yep,
not a trouble. And nobody benefits from that.
They really don't. And I can't think of a single marker that where affirming this and validating this makes it better. And anybody who has an argument for that, please come on the show and please give me that argument. I would love to hear it because I have yet to hear one that substantiates this sort of behavior. And to be an educator who is far more obsessed with your own self-identity, if we can even call it identity, because I think it really lacks individualism to consign yourself to a sexual orientation or a specific gender identification. I think that takes away from your individuality. But to be a teacher who is more obsessed with that than educating your kids is very concerning.
That's right.
It's very concerning. There's an aura of a narcissism.
Aura.
Yeah. Just I'm getting hints of narcissism.
Right, exactly.
In this particular wine. So the more and more that I see videos of educators like this, the more I cement what I already believed, and that is that I will homeschool my kids.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I'll come in and periodically teach them.
That would be fantastic.
Deal.
I will have the best taught kids in America. That's the case. Dennis, okay. We've talked about a lot of stories today. I like to end on a hopeful note, or at least a motivating, encouraging note. Do you have anything to say to the people watching today?
Oh, on a motivating note?
Motivating note. Let's end happy.
Well, I don't know if this will end happy, but it might be motivating.
Mm.
I have come to realize something, and I'll just say an interesting sidebar for one second.
Mm-hmm.
I have always, like you, wanted to understand life. I was a hit, if I may use such a silly term, at your age as well, which is very rare, and I was very grateful, as you are, and you deserve it, and you're in no way arrogant about it, and I salute you, and I wasn't either. To be honest, I just thank God all the time for my good fortune. So I have spent a life trying to understand life. And I'm amazed that big revelations come to me even now. I mean, I didn't know that 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's how I think. So here's one that has hit me. It was always brewing, but now I know it and much more clearly. Virtually all good things are done by outliers.
Mm.
You're an outlier. I was an outlier. Still am, basically.
Yeah.
Now, some bad things are done by outliers, too.
Sure.
all the good that is achieved is done by the one who doesn't march with to the beat of everybody's drum.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope this motivates those of you, those following you,
mm-hmm.
listening now, watching now. If you want to be popular, that is not the same thing as wanting to do good. You have to choose which it is that you most want.
Brilliant. Beautiful. There's no better way to close out the show than that. And when you do that, you will have so much support, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the irony. Yeah.
That is the irony. So don't be scared of it. Don't let people let you be driven by fear. Don't let that happen to you. And speak out and stand up. We will be here to support you. PragerU will be here to support you. And again, you can support us by going to PragerU.com/donate. All of our videos are free, and they're free because you support the work that we do. So guys, that's our show for today. Dennis, thank you for being on. It's always a pleasure. It's always amazing. Guys, let me go through my spiel, my last 4-minute spiel for you guys of all the things I would like to ask you to do. So here we go. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. What time is that? It's 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. Leave a comment down below. What are you going to do with your kids in schooling? Do you have kids? Are they already out of school? If they are, you're probably lucky. Are you going to be homeschooling, private schooling, public schooling? Let me know. And what is your prescription for what we do with schools? Do we abolish them? Do we reform them? Is there really a greater of these two options? Guys, we also have a new channel. It's called Will and Amala Live. That is LIVE. Go and subscribe there. We have exclusive content going there. We have video clips going there. And we're going to be exclusively streaming from there sometime in the near future. You already got that channel to 5,000 subscribers in less than a week. So thank you guys so much for the support that you've given us. And we're going to be back tomorrow with another episode, 2:30 Pacific.